How you doing?
Huh?
I said, how you doing, Randy? How you doing?
Oh, I'm doing good. I'm having a lot of good times now.
Good times.
Been...
Well, did you know a little movie that came out that have surprise people are divisive on?
I had no idea.
So this is kind of a tradition of ours. We did it with Man of Steel. We did it with Age of Ultron, where we have our original podcast, in this case, for Rise of Skywalker. You weren't part of the first one. But then we have a follow-up podcast where we kind of rebuke a lot of the negative things. Or like, it's like, well, this is dumb. Why are people upset by this?
Yeah.
Kind of things that we kind of learn after the fact.
You are correct.
Did you happen to listen to our podcast? Rise of Skywalker?
No, I didn't give myself the opportunity to, because I've kind of avoided pretty much any discussions about Rise of Skywalker, because it became very clear to me that, like, a lot of people just don't like this movie, and I'm afraid to say that they don't like this movie for what I think are incredibly stupid reasons. So, I am now so, in this...
So, like, I won't try to argue Dustin or Mark's points why they didn't care for parts of it, but for the most part, Dustin was pretty disappointed because he felt they just backtracked on all the important stuff from Rise of Skywalker, from Last Jedi.
Last Jedi?
I kind of felt the same way, but I was a little more accepting of just the movie that they made. Even though it kind of annoyed me that that they kind of traveled back on some points.
Yeah,
and Mark was a little bit... Well, he was about the same as me, but he... Like, the nitpicks bothered him a lot more, because that's just kind of the way he is.
Yeah, yeah.
So and, overall, we were all pretty disappointed, but it kind of varied on the how much we liked it, you know,
scale. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Okay. So where to start addressing things? Yes, it is fairly obvious that there was quite a bit of not really backtracking or redacting, but more like contextualizing a lot of the stuff that happened. And I know that, yeah, it is backtracking, but the way that they present it, if you watch this movie 20 years from now with your grandkids, and the current opinions about Star Wars and how people feel about Disney owning Star Wars and how people how they feel about these movies right now, if you were to watch these movies all together, all at once, and you were totally fresh to it, and there was none of the hatred that's going on for Star Wars right now, you wouldn't know that a lot of these decisions were backtracking decisions. You wouldn't know that a lot of the stuff that happened was a result of the fans being upset about things.
Yeah, because it's really hard to tell. Like I have a feeling that in the podcast, we kind of talked about J.J. Abrams probably had his own little ideas
of where
things would go. Like, in his mind, I think Rey was going to be have some sort of lineage.
Yeah.
He didn't have a say at all in, like, The Last Jedi about what happened. They just told Rian Johnson to do whatever he wants. So
yeah.
He was like, well, do I continue what he's doing, which I don't really gel with, or do I try to shoehorn my story back into the narrative?
Well, my trouble with Rian Johnson is that he was basically a dentist in a heart surgery, where, okay, it's great that you're the world's greatest dentist and you're good at what you do, but what you do is not useful here, and what you do does not help here. So, like, I understand that Rian Johnson's intentions were to to subvert expectations and defy what the expected status quo is. But to me, one of George Lucas's biggest things that he tried to make a point of Star Wars is that everything rhymes, and that to me, this whole, and I get it, I understand the appeal of it, where it's like, yeah, anybody could be a Jedi, anybody, no matter the lineage. But the thing is that we spent the prequel trilogies establishing that because we had so many Jedi. I get that they wanted to be like, well, Rey can be a powerful Jedi and come out of nowhere. That's cool, because that can happen. I mean, Mace Windu, who has no real backstory other than the fact that he's Mace Windu, is one of the best Jedi who ever lived. Or Yoda, who has actually no backstory and is the greatest Jedi who ever lived, because it's by virtue of being Yoda. They stand on their own as being incredibly powerful characters. And having Rey come out of nowhere and not having any parentage, I appreciate that they were like, hey, we want to make her come out of nowhere. But with the story that we're trying to tell, with the Skywalker saga, her coming from nowhere makes no sense. So I'm not against her having, you know, no backstory. I'm not against her being, you know, out of nowhere, like, on its face. But for her to matter to the Skywalkers and to the saga at large, I'm totally behind her being from somewhere.
Yeah, I've heard of some takes or people who are positive saying, like, there's a mirror between Ben and Rey here. Like Rey is from a, you know, a dark side lineage. She's innately a good person. And Ben, even though he's a Skywalker, technically, like, he's from the Solo, and which are good people that are going down the dark side path. And yeah. I think they kind of even each other out in that way in the movie.
Yeah, exactly. And they work great as parallels to each other, because where Kylo Ren came from the Skywalker lineage, and that the Skywalkers were meant to bring balance to the Force and eradicate the Sith, where he looks at his lineage and goes, no, my lineage is Darth Vader, and my lineage is the dark side. Whereas Rey discovers her lineage as part of the dark side, and she stands defiant to it. She doesn't embrace it. And, like, I thoroughly enjoyed that. And, like, the way that Rey is and the way that she has been characterized, she is ripe for somebody who would be tempted by the dark side. She's ripe to be exploited by the dark side.
In episode 8, like, she's drawn immediately to that dark side cave with no hesitation.
Yeah. And, like, I feel like we could look at a lot of the scenes that add that inference to her lineage from The Last Jedi. Like, the inference that, you know, when she looks in that, like, what was that? That like, reflection cave thing where she just saw, like, a bunch of reflections down the way.
Yeah.
And that it was, like, dark and foreboding and terrible.
It's promising her, like, what she desired most, and we think we're going to see her parents, but it's just her own reflection.
Yeah. But like, as it happens, it's just like, it's meant to be, like, you can interpret that as her past being a dark and terrible one. You can interpret that as something that, you know, so that's why I wasn't like, oh man, all this shit is redacted and stuff. That's not it, and that doesn't make any sense. And so,
do you think her? Well, this is moving away from Rey, so if you have anything else to say about her right now.
No. Last bit about Rey. It also would help add credence to her extremely, extremely powerful connection to the Force. And that's pretty much the gist of it. It's pretty much the gist of of how I felt about Rey.
Not to be one of those like Rey is a Mary Sue people, but do you think the fact that she ultimately is a Palpatine kind of makes more sense for her to be so good at the Force without any training?
Yes, absolutely. This movie has, because to me, Rey was always take her or leave it. I really didn't have a positive or negative opinion about Rey. I just that Rey existed and that's all she was. But then when we got to see her grow with this and saw her have to deal with this and deal with her lineage being related to the guy whose entire purpose was to piss everybody off and not be like them, you know, it's nice. It makes sense. It's validating, and seeing her rise in defiance of her lineage. I always like stories like that. I always like stories that where people are expected of one thing, but then defy the expectation. So,
and even though I prefer, like, even though I really loved Last Jedi, I do wish, if that was going to be where they were going to go to, that they revealed that in the previous episode, so we as an audience had more time to cope with it, and her as a character had more time to cope with it.
Yes, I have absolutely.
Because, like, Luke had, in the timeline of original Star Wars, he had, like, a 6 or 7 months to process the fact that he's a Darth Vader's son.
Mm-hmm.
And us as an audience waited. Well, we were like babies. I was a baby then, so I didn't know. Well, like, actually, I wasn't born when Empire came out. But was I? No, I wasn't born yet. But like, audience had been waiting for 3 years, saying like, "Well, was he lying? Was he telling the truth? Like, what does this mean?"
Mm-hmm.
And
yeah, because that's kind of how Empire ended.
Yeah, and well, some people thought that. And even that itself was kind of a retcon at that point, because the first movie wouldn't have you believe that, you know, they're related anyway. And I kind of don't know if Lucas thought at that point, because he did a pretty crappy job of, not a crappy job, but he had to just lampshade it basically in Empire Strikes Back, saying, "Oh, I wasn't technically lying." Just like Ben here was, or Kylo was like, "Well, I wasn't technically lying about your parents being nothing. It was your grandparents who were important."
Well, him saying that they wanted you, they wanted to be nothing to protect you.
Yeah.
They wanted to be unassuming to protect you. And I, again, it rhymes to me. It fits to me that, like, someone, because, like, you know, just the way that the Obi-Wan told Luke what he had to not let Luke be dissuaded from his resolve.
Yeah, like, my issue with it, which, you know, I'll get over, because ultimately I liked the movie well enough,
mm-hmm.
just on its own. It's that Last Jedi spent nearly all of its plot points saying Rey doesn't have to be like Luke. She doesn't have to have a special parentage. The Jedi, after years and years of failure, like, Luke and Yoda are like, it's time to move on. But, like, in the next movie, they're like acting like the Jedi are still, like, the most important thing in the universe in a lot of ways.
Yeah.
And it just seems to be going backwards from a movie I really enjoyed. And that's kind of where my frustration comes in. Because
mm-hmm.
it just seems to pretend The Last Jedi never happened.
Mm-hmm.
But it was still stuck with its plot developments.
Yeah. And, like, one of the things that I kind of got lost or stuck on was with like, what was Rian Johnson's plan exactly? Like, what were they going to do next?
Like, I think, from what I heard, he was a, like, this is kind of hearsay, I guess, but I guess some people, like in interviews, picked up on this stuff. I think he was asked to do the next two episodes, but he decided, I don't think I can do that. I'll just kind of tell what I want to tell in one. And just like J.J. Abrams did, he didn't know what to do afterwards. He just kind of told the story he wanted to and left it alone, which I think is a big problem with this sequel trilogy, is that there was no throughput.
Yeah, there was a lot of... Oh, sorry.
Oh, yeah, and that's about it. But like, if you look at another Disney movie, like the MCU, even though, you know, there's a whole bunch of different franchises connecting, you can kind of make, like, the people who wrote and directed Winter Soldier, Civil War, Infinity War, and Endgame are all the same people.
Mm-hmm.
And you can tell that they had a plan, you know, moving from these movies, so you can kind of make a direct throughput about these characters' journeys. And I think they paid a lot better respect to the past and the MCU, where they take a lot of those things into account.
Yeah. And like, the thing is that I you'd think with as coordinated as Marvel gets, that that Star Wars would get as good, if not better, treatment than that. Mm-hmm. And I agree that there's a lot of, like, they're tossing the ball to each other, and we'll figure out what you're supposed to do with it. You know, they're like, figure out what you're supposed to do with it, and then they pass it to the next guy. And it's like, well, now I've got to do this. And it's like, well, now I'm going to have to do some backwards walking here. Thank you.
Yeah, and then, I honestly think that J.J. Abrams wanted Snoke to be alive at this point, but he wasn't.
Yes.
So I think even if, maybe, who knows when Palpatine entered the story and the writing, but even if Palpatine was a part of it, I bet Snoke was going to be the perceived bad guy through most of this movie until, surprise, the real reason, Rey, you're here is to revive Palpatine. It'll be like a big plot twist and
all
that stuff. But instead, they didn't have a bad guy because Rian Johnson killed him.
Rian Johnson killed the guy, and then they made Kylo the leader, and then they, you know, and then it's like, to what end? You know, so that's...
Didn't do anything with it in this movie.
Yeah, so that's why, like, I feel like a lot of what they had to end up doing is what they ended up doing, and I'm okay with that. You know, I'm totally fine with all of this, you know, with all of what's happened with the story. Like, there's a few things that I wish they would have done with better, like the whole backseating of Rose entirely, how, like, they made her this super prominent character in The Last Jedi, and then in this one she's basically a jabroni, and it's like, oh, well, that's great.
We were kind of theorizing in the last podcast is that maybe she didn't want to have a big role about how she was treated online.
Oh, yeah. I the guy who played Jar Jar Binks, like, straight up attempted suicide because of all the hate he got from being Jar Jar Binks. So the child actor who portrayed Anakin, he quit acting after that, after playing Anakin, because the fans are such horrible people. I really feel like
horrible fans.
Star Wars has Star Wars has horrible fans.
And the treatment of the actress who plays Rose was terrible. She's the best character in that new character in that movie.
Yeah, and then and like John Boyega, he is an incredibly talented actor. He, you know, oh god. And so, like, watching people just be horrible because it's not their Star Wars, it's like, okay, dude, I've been because I have to be right when I talk about things to people. And I know people are like, oh, well, what about Extended Universe? You know, there were books written about these and blah, blah, blah. And why didn't they just adapt to the books? And I'm like, okay, first of all, have you actually read those fucking books? Like, holy crap, dude, they're awful. They're so bad. You think Rey's a Mary Sue? You think she's godlike and ridiculous? Luke, everything good about Luke dies in those books. Everything good about Luke dies in those books. Everything likable about Leia or Han Solo or anything, any semblance of likable characteristics dies in those books. You can't look at me in the face and tell me that Heir to an Empire would look great on screen, because they would make Thrawn and they'd still somehow, some way, piss off all these diehards. And like, Thrawn is in Rebels now. Thrawn has been canonized, and he's in Rebels, and he's a great villain. And like, people, I don't know what they want. Like, if you, and this movie is a pretty big indicator of that. Where
wasn't the Heir to the Empire books about the Empire having a secret stash of Star Destroyers in like a black hole cluster?
Basically, yeah.
Yeah.
And like they
did they have like a clone of Luke called Luke, Luke?
Yeah, yeah.
And I guess people liked Mara Jade. I guess.
Well, Mara Jade's cool, and Jaina Solo's cool, and Jace Solo's cool, or Jason, sorry, Jason Solo's cool. Yeah, but the thing is that those books are basically fan fiction. It's fan fiction, all of it. And like, I had this friend who's so ride or die about the extended universe and why Disney has ruined Star Wars, or how that Star Wars is such a huge cash grab. Dude, I've got news for you. George Lucas was already basically a billionaire before Disney bought Lucasfilm from him. Star Wars has always been a money-making machine because of its merchandising. It had always been like that. Oh my gosh, people acting like Disney, bunch of money-hungry, they're a corporation, that's what they do. But like, acting like them pushing Star Wars is ruining Star Wars.
Yeah, because it wasn't Fox doing merchandise. Like, from what I understand, George was very smart.
Yeah.
And he retained merchandising rights for Star Wars.
Yeah.
I don't know if that changed over the years, but
no, he had it, because the contract he signed with Star Wars, they didn't think it was going to do well. They didn't think it was going to end up becoming a billion-dollar industry. You know, so what my point is this. It's never going to be enough for Star Wars fans, because there's so much crap out there that tells people this is what Star Wars is, and then like 30 different ways.
My favorite thing now is people going back to the prequels, which even if you enjoy them, you can admit aren't very good movies.
No,
and
then
people like swearing up and down on them because, like, well, this is at least George did it. This is George Lucas's thing. No one, like, Disney didn't interfere in these. So, like, so that must mean they're masterpieces. It's like, no, they're not. They're terrible movies.
No, they're not. They're money laundering. Anyway, because, like, I will talk crap on the prequel trilogy all day and how much I don't like them. But I will fight people in the streets over how cool the toys were that came out of those fucking films.
Oh, yeah.
Like, I love the toys that came from those.
Yeah, at least the special effects were pretty good.
Yeah, and but they've aged like milk.
But oh, yeah, I saw some footage from Revenge of the Sith of like Yoda, and I was like, oh, this Yoda doesn't look good at all.
Yeah, he doesn't. So, like, this whole salt fueled rage that I have right now for this is just boiling down to this. To me, Rise of Skywalker is the logical end with what they could do with what they had, and they did it while making it make sense within the classic trilogy and the prequel trilogies, especially with what they have made known about those about the world and the universe at large, as well as the way that George Lucas had envisioned these films to be. And, like, I know that this story is not the one that that George Lucas wanted to tell, because, you know, he's been pretty vocal about it. But at the same time, it's like, well, George, you can't say a damn thing. You sold this.
Yeah, you gave away your right to make these movies.
Yeah, you can't be pissed off when you sell your car to somebody and then they put an Ahegao wrap around the car and be like, what did you do to my car? And it's like, it's not your car, dude. You didn't want this. You sold it to me. So, you know, it gives Disney the right to...
I saw recently, like, when he sold off the rights of him, like, he has, like, the lightsaber, and he's surrounded by Mickey and everyone dressed up as Star Wars characters. And the look on his face is just one of pure, like, oh, what have I done?
Yeah, well, yeah, but then he, like, retired, and he's never got to work another day in his life, and he just lives in a cabin raising his family, being a family man. Like, come on, George. Get over yourself, man. But, like, I appreciate the story themes that he implemented, and like, the characters that were created, and the characters that have been...
If I could go back, this moving away from your little rant here. So, but I do wish with the sequel trilogy that, like we talked about before, they communicated the overall story more.
Yes. Yes.
Carrie Fisher's death was a tragic road bump in this. Yes. And I think they did an okay job going around it. But I wish they just took another year to make these movies. So they could plan out, so they could just make the best darn movies they could, because each one of these movies has a lot of flaws, even the one I like the most.
Well, they all have flaws. All of them do, you know?
I mean, all movies have flaws, but I think all these movies have really glaring problems with them that I think you're willing to overlook the more you like the movie. And, like, we were just, like, ranting about nitpicks, like, in a fun way on our last podcast about, Rise of Skywalker, but I think that's because overall we didn't like it as much, so it was easier to pick apart little plot holes or inconsistencies. Mm-hmm. Whereas with The Last Jedi or Force Awakens, I can just go, well, yeah, whatever, but I really love the movies, so.
Yeah, yeah. And so, like... It was
a nice different take for you guys.
Rise of Skywalker. I didn't mean to to jump face first into a rant, but I feel like it just needs to be said that there's just, it's a fine film with what they have, and it's a good film for what they have. And when specific callback moments happen and you remember the way that George Lucas is like, hey, things have to rhyme, and that there are immediate callbacks and exact quotes happening, like, you can't tell me for a moment that didn't at least touch you, you know, in the emotions. Like, you can't. You know, you gotta stop. I don't know. I remember a time when film critics, like, reviewed a movie on its face and didn't do this, like, I don't know, overly critical thing that critics are doing nowadays that just ruin things. It just ruins things. If you have to watch a movie like a filmmaker, and if a movie has to be good from a filmmaker standpoint, what in the hell is the point of movies? Like, why watch them? If if you just go to watch a critique. No, not everybody's an artist. And you don't have to enjoy everything like an artist. Because artists tear things apart. You know, it's not everything is an art project. Not everything has to be Citizen Kane. You know? So I just, maybe that's just what I'm frustrated with in this day and age, is that
about a fan service and what qualifies as fan service. In Star Wars, I think, does this a lot because sequels had a lot of like callbacks and stuff. Like, is it fan service, like, say, in Rogue One, when like C-3PO or like those two extras from the cantina show up on that planet where they go to? Like, is that fan service, or is that like kind of like, well, they could have been there? So is it fan service if it's like part of the world already that they would have been there at that point in time? Movie when like Chewie gets the medal, like you know that was like a sticking point for fans for 30 years because like Chewie never got the medal in A New Hope, and now he has a medal.
Yeah.
Like, is that fan service, or is that just JJ having fun because it never happened, or like what? Or even Palpatine, you can call that like ultimate fan service.
I feel like people are associating fan service with pandering, and they're associating it with being a bad thing. And I couldn't disagree more. This is just like what I was talking about, or, well, no, not talking, sorry, ranting about a moment ago, where people are looking at these films like a filmmaker would, not as just a viewer of a film, you know, not just as someone who just wants to sit down, turn the brain off, and watch a movie, be transported to a different setting, a different place, to enjoy a story being told to them. You know, they have to point all these things that just don't really...
Well, yeah, like, taken in a vacuum, I think Rise of Skywalker handles its themes about, like, with Palpatine and Rey pretty well.
Yeah.
Maybe a little rushed, because this had a really short production, I found out.
It did, yeah. It was rushed, and I will admit that another thing that I'll admit that people can kind of get mad about, but I don't really mind, because I hate it when a movie overstays its welcome and takes too damn long to get its point across. But the pacing was really quick, and I'll admit it, you know, it was pretty quick. But what did you want them to do? Just sit and linger on things? I mean, people got real pissed off at that casino scene taking forever and a day to finish.
Well, I heard people say, like, I wish this movie was longer so they can set things up. It's like, well, then it'll be nearly 3 hours long. Be complaining it's too long.
Yeah, exactly. It's just, there's, no matter what you do, you're going to make people upset. And no matter what you do, people are going to act like they disagree. And they can't just sit down and like a thing. They have to give you an essay on why they like that thing, when it could just simply be, well, I like space, and I like space wizards.
And that's why I like those Jurassic World movies. Like, I know on the whole they're pretty mindless and dumb, but I just like dinosaurs, you know?
Yeah.
I want to see those. Exactly. I want Chris Pratt and what's her face to fight some dinosaurs.
Yeah. Like, I don't... I think it's one of the reasons why I just like fighting games so much, and I like action movies so much, is because I don't want to work while I'm trying to have fun. And when movies and shows are... don't get me wrong, I appreciate a good, complex, well-made movie. I like Joker a lot. And Joker was a lot of stuff I don't like in movies. But they did it so well that the parts of my brain that gets pissed off when I see just this artsy nonsense happening on screen all the time, were shut down because they did a damn good job. But like when everybody just expects movies and every movie to have to be something that is designed to win Oscars, you know, it when everything is artsy and ridiculous, nothing is. And so, but you know what? I think the biggest takeaway we can take from this whole thing, and I feel like it would be just a great thing to leave our listeners to ponder, is that at least it's not like Cats.
You know, Dustin kept on bringing up Cats during our conversation. It's like, well, at least it's not like Cats. I was like,
but you know, that is our. It came out the same time Cats did. I don't know whose great idea that was, but no matter how bad Star Wars can get,
how crazy is it that they're releasing a new version in the theaters that fixes special effects that they forgot to complete?
The day one DLC patch, and people are like, "No, I'm not going to go see Cats again." Because
I heard there were scenes where they just forgot to add the fur to some of the characters, or they left a hand still being a human hand. Plus, I heard like they didn't do motion capture for that movie; they just had the actors like dancing and doing stuff. So it was really difficult for the animators to actually animate over the people, like, because they didn't have any reference points. That whole movie seems like a disaster.
Like, what the hell were they, you know what, I feel like just like my rants, we're getting off topic.
Yeah. Okay, Rise of Skywalker, you loved it.
I loved it, but I would also like to remind everybody too that I am actually also a known cretin. Like, I unironically like Pabst Blue Ribbon. So, like, take that with what you will.
All right. Thank you, Randy, for joining me.
Thank you.
And thank you to myself for being the host. Whatever. And we'll be back in a few days or whenever you're free for our Mandalorian finale. And then who knows what lies ahead in 2020.
2020, guy, we're the future now, boy.
All right, thanks, Randy, again, and we'll see you next time.
See you next time.
Bye.